Now turn to part two. You'll hear part of a radio program about the difficulties faced by witnesses and by the police after a crime has been committed. For questions 9 to 17, complete the sentences with a word or short phrase. You now have 45 seconds in which to look at part two.
When a crime's been committed, the police often call on the general public for help. They need witnesses. They depend on the witness's eyes and ears to help track down the culprit. Acting as a witness calls for an accurate memory of events which have generally happened very quickly and under highly stressful circumstances. Not surprisingly, eyewitness memory has become a study for psychologists like myself. I've been, first of all, evaluating the new systems used by the police to help witnesses reconstruct the face of the suspect. This new system has taken into account how we recognise facial features. The old system, PhotoFit, where you had to piece together the eyes and then the mouth, etc., of the suspect, was developed from a logical rather than a psychological analysis. It rather assumed people could look at isolated features and pick out an appropriate pair of eyes, and so on. But, in fact, people tend to remember faces as wholes rather than a collection of features. So now we allow witnesses to work with a complete face on a computer screen, and they can swap features in and out and make a much more accurate judgment about the degree of resemblance in context. But what we don't know at the end of the day is whether witnesses are able to make more recognisable likenesses than they used to. Another way for the police to ask for the help of witnesses is by using identity parades. This is where the police line up similar-looking people for the witnesses to identify the possible suspect. Unfortunately, one in five picks out someone who acts as a foil, someone known to be innocent. One thing that has been researched over the last 10 years is how the witnesses' race compared with the suspects, how they match up. White people are better able to discriminate amongst other white people, for example. So this is something which is a major factor in trying to identify which witnesses are going to be the best at recalling these things. Another major factor which influences our accuracy is the amount of time which has passed since an event took place. And a lot of the indicators that people may think are good, like the confidence that a witness feels, is not actually as good a clue to their accuracy as we would hope. You often get these people saying, "Yes, that's the one who did it, I'm positive of it," but the person identified is not the suspect. And another important question is, do older adults differ from younger ones in their memory for events? We know a lot about how older adults perform in conventional experiments, where we might give them lists of words to remember or whatever. And we know that older adults are poorer at long-term memory than they are at short-term memory. We also know they tend to be poor at things like, did they read it or did they see it? Did Mr. X tell them this fact or Mr. Y? In other words, that is, making decisions about the source of the memory. So how have we gone about exploring these questions? We show people a controlled event using videos depicting crimes. And then, after some delay, we ask them a series of questions about the event. Unfortunately, it's too soon to be able to come to any firm conclusions. And we've also done research which shows that the language an older adult uses is different from that of a younger adult. Most policemen are quite young, and many witnesses and victims of crime are quite old. And maybe the older adult's memory is not being fully used because of the communication problems. So we're very much hoping that the results of our research make an impact on police procedure in the future.
Now you'll hear part two again.
When a crime's been committed, the police often call on the general public for help. They need witnesses. They depend on the witness's eyes and ears to help track down the culprit. Acting as a witness calls for an accurate memory of events which have generally happened very quickly and under highly stressful circumstances. Not surprisingly, eyewitness memory has become a study for psychologists like myself. I've been, first of all, evaluating the new systems used by the police to help witnesses reconstruct the face of the suspect. This new system has taken into account how we recognise facial features. The old system, PhotoFit, where you had to piece together the eyes and then the mouth, etc., of the suspect, was developed from a logical rather than a psychological analysis. It rather assumed people could look at isolated features and pick out an appropriate pair of eyes, and so on. But, in fact, people tend to remember faces as wholes rather than a collection of features. So now we allow witnesses to work with a complete face on a computer screen, and they can swap features in and out and make a much more accurate judgment about the degree of resemblance in context. But what we don't know at the end of the day is whether witnesses are able to make more recognisable likenesses than they used to. Another way for the police to ask for the help of witnesses is by using identity parades. This is where the police line up similar-looking people for the witnesses to identify the possible suspect. Unfortunately, one in five picks out someone who acts as a foil, someone known to be innocent. One thing that has been researched over the last 10 years is how the witnesses race compared with the suspects, how they match up. White people are better able to discriminate amongst other white people, for example. So this is something which is a major factor in trying to identify which witnesses are going to be the best at recalling these things. Another major factor which influences our accuracy is the amount of time which has passed since an event took place. And a lot of the indicators that people may think are good, like the confidence that a witness feels, is not actually as good a clue to their accuracy as we would hope. You often get these people saying, "Yes, that's the one who did it, I'm positive of it." But the person identified is not the suspect. And another important question is, do older adults differ from younger ones in their memory for events? We know a lot about how older adults perform in conventional experiments, where we might give them lists of words to remember or whatever. And we know that older adults are poorer at long-term memory than they are at short-term memory. We also know they tend to be poor at things like, did they read it or did they see it? Did Mr. X tell them this fact or Mr. Y? In other words, that is, making decisions about the source of the memory. So how have we gone about exploring these questions? We show people a controlled event using videos depicting crimes. And then, after some delay, we ask them a series of questions about the event. Unfortunately, it's too soon to be able to come to any firm conclusions. And we've also done research which shows that the language an older adult uses is different from that of a younger adult. Most policemen are quite young, and many witnesses and victims of crime are quite old. And maybe the older adult's memory is not being fully used because of the communication problems. So we're very much hoping that the results of our research make an impact on police procedure in the future.
That's the end of part two.